Ever feel like cybersecurity threats are like multiplying by the minute? I know, right? Today, we're diving into two biggies that are, well, kind of essential in this day and age: patch and vulnerability management. They might sound like super techie, but trust me, they matter, even if you can barely turn on your computer.
You hit the nail on the head. And you know what? People often use those terms interchangeably, but they're actually two sides of the same coin, really.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
Think about those like phone update reminders that always pop up at the worst time. That's patch management in action, fixing those little software glitches, those vulnerabilities, before they turn into major security headaches.
So hitting that update button is like my first line of defense against cyber chaos.
You got it. But then vulnerability management is even more proactive. You know, imagine like a security system constantly scanning your house for weak points, shaky locks, open windows, you name it. That's vulnerability management finding and assessing those risks before someone can exploit them.
Okay, that makes sense. So instead of just reacting to problems, you're out there hunting them down.
Exactly. And it's all about minimizing risk, right? Remember that massive Equifax data breach a few years back? Millions of people affected because, well, they didn't patch a known vulnerability.
Ugh, talk about a cybersecurity nightmare. That's definitely a wake-up call if I've ever heard one. So let's say you're like in charge of wrangling all these patches and vulnerabilities. Where do you even begin? It's got to be more than just clicking update all, right?
Right. It's not quite that simple, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Just blindly updating everything can cause a whole new set of problems. First things first, you got to know what you're dealing with. Are your systems even up to date? Think of it like different security cameras for your network.
Okay, I am picturing it.
You've got agents, kind of like those little cameras installed everywhere, reporting back constantly. Then there's the agentless approach, more like motion detectors. You get alerts, but you don't see everything. And then there's passive observation, sort of like having a security guard review footage after the fact.
So each approach has its own pros and cons. It's about finding the right fit for your organization's security style, I guess.
Exactly. It's all about weighing your options and picking the best tools for the job.
Makes sense. But then, how do you actually manage those patches once you've figured out your strategy? It can't be as easy as just hitting install, right?
If only it were that easy. A truly robust patch management process. It's kind of like a well-oiled machine, you know? It's got all these different parts that need to work together seamlessly.
Okay, walk me through it. What are the moving parts?
So first, you got to assess if you even need that patch. Will it play nice with your current systems? Then you test it in a controlled environment, kind of like a digital sandbox, before unleashing it on your entire network. You don't want any nasty surprises like, remember that time I updated my phone and it wiped all my photos? Yeah, not a good feeling.
Yeah, I've been there. Tech headaches are the worst.
Right. Okay, so once you're sure the patch is good to go, you know, won't cause more problems than it solves, you need to get it authorized. That often involves that change management process we talked about earlier. Then comes the actual implementation, deploying that patch across your systems. Thankfully, automation can be a lifesaver here.
Automation always makes things easier. So it's like automating those security checks to make sure everything's running smoothly.
Precisely. And last but not least, you got to confirm the patch actually did its job and didn't like accidentally open up any new vulnerabilities in the
So
process.
it's like a never-ending cycle of staying vigilant and adapting to the latest threats.
Exactly. You can't just like patch once and call it a day. Technology's always evolving, and so are those sneaky cyber threats.
Which brings me to my next point, vulnerability management. It's
Yeah.
not just about fixing what's broken, it's about actively looking for those weaknesses before they become, well, problems, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's about understanding that you can't eliminate every single risk out there.
So it's more about managing the risk, not trying to like achieve this impossible state of perfect security.
Exactly. You got it. You've got to prioritize and mitigate the risks that matter most to your organization. It's all about making informed decisions, really.
Which I think highlights why this is relevant to everyone, even if they're not tech experts.
100%. Understanding these basic concepts empowers you to ask the right questions.
Right.
Like when you're signing up for a new online service, you can check if they take security seriously.
Yeah.
It's all about being informed and making smart choices in this digital age, right?
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting your data. Okay, so we've patched up our systems. We're on the lookout for vulnerabilities, but you know, technology never sits still, does it?
You're telling me. It's like the moment you get a handle on one thing, 10 new things pop up.
Right. So how do organizations keep up with all that change? new updates, new features, new everything. It's like a recipe for disaster, right? You try to fix one thing and accidentally break three more.
That's where change management comes in. It's all about having a system in place so those changes don't turn into, you know, security nightmares.
Change management. Okay, I gotta be honest. It doesn't exactly sound like the most exciting topic. Convince me why I should care.
Think about it like this. Imagine you're, I don't know, renovating your kitchen, right? You wouldn't just start tearing down walls without a plan, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Blueprints, permits, a really good contractor. You want to make sure it's done right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Measure twice, cut once, as they say.
Exactly. Change management is kind of like that. It's a structured process for making changes to your systems, you know, carefully and methodically with lots of documentation.
Okay, so less about winging it and more about like dotting your I's and crossing your T's. But how does that actually make things more secure? Help me connect the dots here.
It's all about minimizing risk, right? Every time you change something, even if it seems small, there's a chance it could have unintended consequences. So with change management, you're assessing those risks before they become problems. You're making sure everyone's on the same page, documenting every step, and having a rollback plan just in case things go sideways.
So it's like having that undo button for your entire system, just in case.
Exactly. And just like with those kitchen renovations, documentation is key. You want a detailed record of what was changed, why it was changed, who authorized it, the whole nine yards. That way, if something does go wrong, you can like retrace your steps and figure out what happened, hopefully avoid making the same mistake twice.
Makes sense. So we've talked about proactively protecting ourselves with patches and vulnerability management, and we've covered the importance of managing change carefully. But what happens when, despite our best efforts, things still go wrong? Because let's be real, no system is foolproof, right? So we've talked about patching those vulnerabilities and managing change like a well-oiled machine. But let's be real, even with the best defenses, sometimes things just go wrong.
You're telling me it's like inevitable, right?
Exactly. So how do you bounce back from those like, oh no, moments in cybersecurity? What's the game plan when disaster strikes?
That's where recovery strategies come in, having a plan for when things go sideways. Mm-hmm. Like, it's better to be prepared, right?
Okay, so it's all about being prepared, but where do you even begin?
Well, let's talk about failure modes.
Yeah.
It's how we design systems to, well, fail gracefully, you could say.
Failure modes. Okay, that sounds kind of intense.
It's not as scary as it sounds. Think of it this way. When a system encounters a problem, it can fail in a few different ways, right? So fail-soft is like, imagine a door that swings open if the lock malfunctions. It compromises security, but prioritizes access, you know?
So it's like a security trade-off, better to keep things running, even if it means a slightly higher risk.
Exactly. But then fail secure is the opposite. It's that door slamming shut and locking down tight, prioritizing security above all else.
Gotcha. So it's like hitting the emergency shutdown button.
Exactly. And then you've got fail safe, which puts human safety above everything else. Imagine a fire alarm going off. A fail safe system might unlock all the doors, even if it overrides security protocols, just to make sure everyone can evacuate safely.
Right. Because in that situation, people's lives are more important than like data protection.
Exactly. So, yeah, different situations call for different failure modes, right? It's all about figuring out what's most important.
Makes sense. But let's talk about backups for a sec. How do those fit into this whole disaster recovery picture?
Backups. Those are your best friends, seriously. Think of them like insurance policies for your data.
Okay, I like that analogy.
And just like insurance, there are different types, you know, each with its own pros and cons. Full backups are like taking a snapshot of your entire system. Everything gets copied.
Mm-hmm.
Incremental backups are more like, I don't know, jotting down changes in a notebook. They just copy what's new since the last full backup. And then differential backups, those are kind of a combination of both. They keep track of all the changes since that last full backup.
So if something goes wrong, you can basically just rewind back to a previous version, like hitting the undo button on a massive scale.
You got it. Mm-hmm. But the type of backup you choose, it affects how much data you can lose and how long it takes to recover. That's where those terms RPO and RTO come in.
RTO, RPO. Those sound familiar, but refresh my memory.
So RPO, or recovery point objective, is like asking, how much data can I afford to lose? Like, is losing an hour of work okay? Or would that be a major problem? And RTO, recovery time objective, that's all about how much downtime you can handle.
Okay, that makes sense. Time is money, as they say.
Exactly. It's all about figuring out your organization's pain points, right?
Absolutely. But backups only work if you can actually access them, right? What happens if, like, a natural disaster takes out your whole office?
That's why you gotta have offsite storage, my friend. Keep a copy of your data somewhere else, like a digital safety deposit box, you know.
Double the data, double the fun.
Well, not exactly fun, but definitely double the security. And you've got options here, too. Electronic vaulting is like sending regular, secure data transfers. Remote journaling is more like keeping a log of changes off-site. And then remote mirroring maintains a live, up-to-date copy at a separate location.
Okay, so it's like having a backup for your backup.
You got it. Multiple layers of protection, always a good idea.
For sure. But let's say the worst happens, like a major disaster takes out your primary site. What then?
That's when you break the glass and head to your recovery site.
Time for plan B.
Exactly. And just like with backups, you've got options here too, depending on your needs and budget.
Right.
A hot site is like having a fully equipped spare office ready to go at a moment's notice. It's pricey, but you're back up and running in no time.
So that's the like Cadillac option for disaster recovery?
Pretty much. Then there's the cold site, which is more like having an empty office space. Cheaper, but it takes longer to get up and running.
So you're trading costs for speed, basically.
Exactly. And of course, there's the warm site, which falls somewhere in between. Think of it like a partially furnished office. You get the idea.
Got it. So it's like choosing the right level of disaster preparedness for your organization's needs and budget, of course.
Exactly. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to cybersecurity, but understanding all these different elements and how they fit together, that's a great place to start, right?
Absolutely. And that's what we've done today on our deep dive into cybersecurity essentials. We've covered it all from proactive measures like patching and vulnerability management to reactive strategies like disaster recovery and backups. It's all about building that like cybersecurity muscle one step at a time.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
We hope this deep dive has given you a clear understanding of these essential elements and how they all work together. So until next time, stay curious, stay safe, and stay one step ahead of those cyber threats.